And it's one of our favorite times during the week, both Tuesday and Thursday, Ruminations, where we speak with a pastor and you have the opportunity as listeners to kind of eavesdrop on how pastors are speaking about various current events. And on this Thursday, March the 21st, in the year of our Lord 2013, we have with us the Reverend Wes Reimnitz. Hi, Wes.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing very good. And without further ado, because we got a lot to talk about, the last few weeks, we've been taking a look at the History Channel's filming of the Bible. And yesterday was part three about starting with kind of Daniel and moving into Jesus. So let me ask you, what was your general response to it?
Yuck.
Really?
Cutting to the chase, because you told one of my favorite Bible stories is Daniel and the three men in the fiery furnace, and they skipped over the confession that these guys did, which is great. But cutting to the chase, you look at the temptations of Jesus, which they did there too, and I gotta say it, even Satan knows how to quote the scriptures, and it's, some of this stuff is really out of context with the Bible.
What specifically? I don't like talking in generalities.
Okay, you want me to give you a specific? If you go straight to the temptations of Jesus, and they did the temptations, the third temptation, when Jesus responds, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. It doesn't say, Jesus doesn't say those three times, it is written or it is said. You know, he just gives them the answer, and especially when he tells Satan to be gone, I worship God. He didn't say you worship God. To me, that's more, a little bit more than a slip of the tongue. Maybe you might see it a little bit differently, but too far afield for me.
Yes, I've looked at the internet and seen a lot of negative responses here, but as you pointed out, a lot of them isn't what was actually done, but what was missing.
Yes.
And I have to say, I have really quite a different view of what I saw this last Sunday than you do, and maybe majority of people. I thought it was really good.
I didn't.
Yes. First of all, there's no doubt that there were individual mistakes, and we could kind of go through them because I've got three pages of the things that weren't quite said right or done right. For example, I mean, it just doesn't take long to go through a lot of them. You've got Joseph, Mary's betrothed, arguing with the Romans, and
right.
That's never found in the Bible. I mean, that was an addition. You've got Mary herself being attacked by the people, referred to as a shameless whore, and that's never in the Bible.
No.
You got the wise men who end up coming to the stable with the shepherds on the very same night. And according to Matthew, they came quite a time after that.
Did the shepherds really come that night? If you look...
Yeah, that first group, I'm not sure. I think that was the shepherds, that first group that came in.
Yeah, I didn't see it that way.
But I mean, my point is, we know the individuals behind this, like Warren and others. Now, they're Christian, and they certainly believe the shepherds came. So why would they leave the shepherds out? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, did they have an angel? I don't remember the whole heavenly host showing up for the angel.
No, that. But see, that's, again, something missing, not something done wrong. Because they certainly had an angel talking to Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And they certainly had an angel talking to Joseph, even though the Bible says that was through a dream, not a face-to-face,
mm-hmm.
like they had. But I'll tell you why I really liked it, even with all these mistakes. How would you like to be Jewish in this country, watching the History Channel's The Bible, and not only in the New Testament, where they could expect Jesus is going to show up, but even the Old Testament, the prophecies are referring to Jesus. For example, Daniel talks about that the other individual in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he refers to him as God himself.
Right.
And we know that was Jesus. He doesn't say Jesus because he doesn't know his name. He also talks about that when the Son of Man comes, and here it's Daniel 17 with the Ancient of Days, etc., he says the Son of Man will be worshipped. He actually says that, which, of course, is what Daniel 7 says. When the angel meets with Mary, he not only refers to Jesus as Son of the Most High, but he also says he is the Son of God. And when the angel meets with Joseph, he says this child is from God. And then the wise men, and I don't know how they got that in, but they quote the Isaiah passage, not only about a virgin shall conceive, that's actually quoted by the wise men, but also they refer to that, what's that great verse where he talks about his name is the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace?
Oh, from Isaiah?
Exactly. That is said. Now, put yourself in the shoes of a Jewish person watching this. There's no doubt, especially in this third edition, that they were really tying the Old Testament, pointing to Jesus as a fulfillment of the promises.
Yeah, I will give you that. But you get into those, like you get into the temptation again, and you have Jesus worshiping God.
Well, doesn't he? He prays to God.
Right.
I mean, I can understand that properly.
Yeah, but he didn't say, I worship God only. He said, you shall worship. You know, and the other point of the temptation, so too, is it is written. Why do you think Jesus would just say to Satan, it is written? Isn't that also for our benefit too as well?
But you see, that's something that's missing again. It's not something wrong. In fact, I was very surprised that they actually quote Deuteronomy, and Jesus does, as he does in the Bible. Now, he does add, as it is written, but remember, the devil even quotes the Bible, but he does it in a way that misscrews it. Like, for instance, that even if you dash your foot against a stone, he will protect you. But the verse that he leaves out is, if you're following in his ways.
Yeah, you still haven't got me convinced yet.
Well, I'm going to read something to you, and I just really have been kind of disappointed how negative people are on the internet, even among our fellow Lutheran brothers and sisters in Christ. But here was one item that I, you know, really kind of agree with. And he is responding to 4 pages of ridicule of the movie. And here's what he writes. My question is, of all the things that you could be ridiculing and tearing apart, you choose this. So if you've started watching this and stopped, what wholesome godly show did you watch instead? I don't read anything in your comments that resembles Christ's love. From your words, are you driving people to the cross or away from it? If I was an unbeliever and watched just one episode of this and was taken back at the possibility that any of this happened, and then I come across you guys who are leaders and examples of Christ and his church, I'd be done with those thoughts and I'd walk away. What was the last movie you went to or selfish sin you indulged in? But you sit there beating your chest with pride, accusing the show of being wrong, evil, diabolical. Do you know the hearts of the lost ones watching it? There may be details that are missing or out of place, but does that take away the power that God has in his name when it's being displayed in this manner? I ask you again, are you really driving the lost ones to the cross with your condemnation to this show? So many other shows and movies you could display the lack of God, but you choose this. Have a heart of Christ and be a fisher of men, as was written and also displayed in the show. Now, I tell you, I resonate to that because I know people who come into my store, you know, and that's that thing I open on Saturday mornings, Bargains New and Resale, and they are watching this movie, and the parts that are missing, they're not really knowledgeable about that, and it is such an opportunity to open up the true understanding of the Bible when you talk to these people.
Well, that I would agree with you, Tom. And in fact, on one of the previous programs, I pointed out to you that, and you had that caller in, too, that said he was a professor and they were talking about it in his classrooms, that those things are going. It is a wonderful witness opportunity that we have. But I think among ourselves as Christians, we need to sit down and take a look at it in a serious, and that's where I'm coming from. Where you're coming from is, okay, if it's hitting the loss, yes, I would have to agree with you 100%. It opens up a door that we can start filling in the gaps for them.
Yes, in fact, another individual writing on the Internet says, this show gives those lost people more biblical stories and information than most people have ever known before. Already being a believer and being able to discern and compare things to God's Word, we already know this show isn't 100% fact for fact. But I don't think this show is for us. It's for the ones that God puts a spark of curiosity of them. Can any one of us drive an unbeliever, homosexual, atheist to Christ by merely arguing the facts, telling them that they are wrong? All you do is get blue in the face and you go in circles. Christ came to show us how he was different from the old traditions God's people had. We as believers are different to become, so we need to become the continuation of Christ's work he started to lead people to him. Use, and this is what you just said, Wes, use this show as a tool and share the knowledge you have with those people that have seen these stories for the first time. What's important to all people is that they come to know Christ as their Savior. And becoming a believer isn't an instant switch. It's the start of a growing relationship with Christ.
That I would definitely agree with you. You know, where I was coming from the top of the show was, you know, you and I, as we discuss these things, remember, we're in ruminations as pastors.
Right.
You know, and yes, there would be quite a bit that we would say, oh, I'm not so sure about the way they go. But in terms of an outreach, yes, they'll come in and they'll ask questions. And you probably had many adult Bible classes, and many of us as pastors have had information classes where adults are joining, and you would spend maybe an hour, if you're lucky, on the lesson, and another 2 hours answering questions that they had about the Bible that they wondered about or that they heard about.
Yes, our numbers here are 505-7850, if you're in the St. Louis area, 505-7850, or anywhere in North America, toll-free 1-800-730-2727. I'll tell you how I would do this. For the longest time, probably the worst time at St. James where I was a pastor was doing youth confirmation. It was not only difficult because it was hard to get the kids out. They now have, even on Sunday mornings, they have sports and things like that. So I had to devise a way in which the kids would enjoy coming. And what I ended up doing here, Wes, is I did something that we started at 9 in the morning and went to noon, and kids were really sad when they couldn't make it. Now, what did I do? I would normally start off with a VeggieTale. Now, these VeggieTales are cartoons about stories of the Bible, and we would take a look at it, and none of the VeggieTales are really uniquely Christian. They have plenty of mistakes in it, just like the Bible story here by the movie channel has. But after we're done looking at them, I would ask them, okay, what was good about it, what was bad about it? And very few of the kids knew what was bad about it. They were very legalistic. In fact, I don't know if you're aware of this, but the creator of the Veggie Show, all those little CDs, he has now repented for doing them. Because he makes it very clear they were quite legalistic and they did not proclaim Christ as they should have, which is amazing. But see, I was using this years ago in trying to show kids how to look at a television show. Then when we were done with the Veggie Shows, we would have games, and we had, in the basement of the church, we had a pool table, we had a ping pong table, we had shuffle boards, we had bumper pool, and we would challenge one another. We'd do that for about 20 minutes. Then I would go back, and I would show them advertisements from television, and we would try and show the lie in the advertisements and the motivation to buy a product. Or we would look at part of a movie that would have a religious atmosphere to it. Now, what I was doing, I would choose those items that dealt with the part of the catechism for that particular day. I remember one time we were talking about resurrection from the dead, and one of the children had had her aunt die that week, and she was in confirmation. So she and I began a conversation. Fortunately, her aunt was a Christian. And we ended up going through all of the catechism, even though the kids didn't realize it, as I spoke to her and had a conversation just between her and me with the rest of the kids listening. Then we play some more games, do some more theology. And the last half hour, we invited their parents, where Louise would make pizza for everybody. And the parents would come, we'd have pizza, and we'd continue to play these games. And you can understand why the kids loved coming to confirmation. But the point I'm making is I would use non-accurate portrayals of the Scripture, like VeggieTales, in order to help them become more discerning and get them ready for high school and college, where they were going to hear a lot of false stuff. And
I have an adult class right now that's going on, and the video we're using is Cecil D. DeMille's Ten Commandments.
Oh, excellent. You're making my point.
Yeah, same thing, you know, it's got some inaccuracies in there, and a lot of good, accurate points, and we sit down and we go through them and talk about them. It hasn't lessened the person who likes the person who's joining, watching it, but it's opened up avenues for them to read the Scriptures, and boy, do they read them when they come to adult Bible class and they know the lessons we're going to cover.
So, you know,
point's well taken.
Yeah, and it's a point that I want to stress here, that there is a huge ignorance about basic Bible stories in the country today. I had an individual in my adult instruction, a college graduate. I was talking about David and Bathsheba. I've mentioned this before. And he didn't know who I was talking about. And I even asked him, didn't you even see the movie?
Well, we talked about it in our 9 o'clock Sunday morning Bible class, adult Bible class that we have. You've spoken at it. And we talked at length about that. And they were all of the same opinion as you. It opens up doors for those that have not heard it. And my point is that you got to fill in the gaps. It's a witness tool to fill in the gaps at that point.
That's a good way of putting it. But it can; those gaps can be filled in.
Right.
Plus, you can always stress the items that are correct. I don't know. I just really thought even the birth of Jesus and the items surrounding that, the music used, and the Bible verses were really very, very good, even though you and I would agree that the wise men probably didn't come till a later time. But you know as well as I do, we go to the homes of our members, and they have a nativity scene maybe on a table in their front room, and sure enough, the shepherds, the sheep, the wise men, and the camels are all there.
Right. Well, and how about them leaving Egypt, and they skirted around Bethlehem because of the crucifixions.
Yeah, they saw the crucifixions. And see, that was something else that we know quite well, that the way a person was crucified is the cross beam was carried by him to the hill. And right. Then he lay on the ground and he was nailed into the cross beam, which was then lifted up on top of the poles that already were in the ground.
Right.
And yet all of the crosses we saw in the movie, the entire cross was being lifted up from the ground.
Right.
So there's another example where it's not against the Bible so much, because the Bible doesn't say that, but archaeology has shown that that's why they call it a cross, because you carry the cross beam part, not the entire cross.
Right. I think also, though, the part I was getting at, Joseph and Mary were coming back through, and it's like, oh, we better skip this because this crucifixion is going on. And I thought he was warned in a dream to go up from up to Nazareth.
Well, remember, yes, and remember Herod had died by then.
Right. Well,
so,
had taken over.
Yeah, this is something I don't understand why they add these. I mean, the worst statement made, do you remember? Joseph was characterized as a young man when most of us think he was probably an older gentleman. But let's say he was a young man. I mean, what does he say to Mary during the worship service? Do you remember that?
Oh, something like he had eyes for her.
Yes, he looks at her and says, "You have the most beautiful eyes." She
yeah.
kind of smiles. You know, why? I guess there's an artistic expression you can use and such, but when you realize that archaeologically we've discovered a lot of things about the birth and such, you would think they would have had some scholars who knew that, because among good seminaries, it's very common knowledge, but of course, a number of these individuals never went to a seminary.
Right.
Who's that one young man who took over from his father? I can't think of his name right now. Warren.
Graham?
Who?
Well, Warren. I thought you were talking about the Grahams, but I think he went to.
No, not Graham. He wasn't part of this, I don't think. But the fellow who's on got the biggest church in the country.
Joel Osteen.
Very good. He's listed as one of the individuals, and he brags about not going to the seminary. And then, of course, when you listen to him, he proves he hasn't been at the seminary, because what the message he has is so contrary to the scriptures.
Right.
But be that as it is, I think I might join you in your views of it in the next two, because it's all about Jesus, and I really want to see what they're going to do with the resurrection. You know, some of the great what's that opera about Christ that was a number of years
Superstar?
Ago? Which one?
Was it Jesus Christ Superstar?
Very good. They don't even have a resurrection.
Hmm.
So we're going to have to see, if they're not going to put the Holy Spirit as a dove and the Father's voice from heaven, it's going to be kind of interesting. But the one thing that really was interesting to me, even for those who don't know the Bible that well, would you agree with me that they really tied the Old Testament to pointing forward to Jesus as the Messiah, and this third issue of it really showed that clearly?
That I would have to agree with you. Those points came through.
So I think that's amazing that the History Channel would put something on the air that is totally contrary to Jewish thinking today.
Mm.
I think that's
from that aspect, I would have to agree with you. That was really unique.
It really was, and I was not expecting it, because the first two, they never even mentioned Jesus, you know, when they could have.
Right.
Like at the burning bush.
Right.
The God in the burning bush was Jesus. And, of course, let there be light was Jesus. And he appears so many times in the Old Testament.
Well, one thing final point I'd like to make is, you know, one of my members was listening, listened to one of our, as we talked about the Bible, the series, and they said they really appreciated that we went through this, and it helped them grow in their understanding, what's missing, not missing, and they could talk to others about it too.
That's a really good point. So, in a sense, every good theologian will recognize there were some mistakes made, but not to the point where I think we can be able to use this for the possibility of reaching out to others. It was kind of interesting. You know, after this, they had the Vikings on.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've been looking at that.
A little bit.
But they had a better Christian part there, where an individual actually is getting forgiven. And we'll have to talk about that another time, because guess what?
We're out of time again.
All right. Hey, thanks so much, Wes. And we're going to be looking. There's two more Sundays for this. And hopefully we'll be taking a look at it on this Sunday. And next Thursday we'll talk about the fourth one. And then I'm really looking forward to see what they do with the resurrection.
Right.
Thanks so much, very much. That was Wes Reimnitz. I'm Tom Baker. Tomorrow is Open Mic Friday, and we're going to be talking about a hymn and some other items. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105, or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.